Good afternoon. And welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet as well. So, we've been getting together for quite a while, discussing the course. Or let us say, we've been discussing the truth and seeing in what ways the Course supports the truth. Because there was something before the Course. And what was before the Course was the truth. And the Course is an expression of the truth. The Course is not the end. The Course is not the point. The truth is the point. And I'm wondering, I'm not going to ask any of you to respond to this, but I'm wondering, over the last year and a half, year and three quarters that we've been meeting, has your life been changing? Or better put, is the way you're responding to life changing? Are you letting life just roll over you? Or are you realizing that indeed there is another way to look at this, and purposely and conscientiously inquisitiveness to see it a different way? And then actually seeing it in a new way. Have there been healings? I know. A miracle is, quote, a sudden shift of perception, unquote. I've heard it said. It's not about healing. It's about a sudden shift of perception in your mind. Well, if that's what you think, if that's what you believe, that's what you'll get. And it won't be worth much. What point is there in having a sudden shift to perception? Let us say, so that pain doesn't bother you, and pain continues. Oh, but you're in bliss, and it doesn't bother you that you're in pain. If you think that's what it's about, you're wrong. What is the sudden shift of perception about? The sudden shift of perception is going to be about your experience. And when the sudden shift of perception that constitutes a miracle occurs, it's a shift of perception in which, I'm going to say, God's truth registers with you. God's truth about what? God's truth about what you're experiencing. God's truth about the kingdom of heaven that you've been looking at and calling the world, as though it has nothing to do with God. And so a sudden shift of perception is going to be accompanied by a shift of experience. And so instead of seeing your perception of creation, you will see creation itself. And that will be recognizable as healing. Cancer gone. Deformed joints reformed. The beauty, the exquisiteness, the perfection of creation is what will be embodied instead of your perception being embodied. And so you will experience a new embodiment, whether it's of your body, what you call your body, or the dying tree in the yard, or whatever it is that isn't manifesting all of the qualities of creation itself. Some sudden shifts of perception are little ones. So they don't blow your mind. In fact, some shifts that occur, you don't recognize until later on when you realize, wow, if that had happened a year ago, I would have been really upset. And now, no problem for me at all. I haven't lost my peace, and I've been able to cope with it quickly, intelligently, and well. And there's been no drama or trauma. What's my point? My point is that if all of this isn't registering in your life as transformed experience, as the disappearance of physical problems, or the meeting of a physical problem quickly, then you're up in your head, you're up in your intellect, and you are not connected to your right mind yet. A Course in Miracles. Well, we're not talking about causing miracles to happen. We're not talking about causing physical regeneration to happen. What we're talking about is your relinquishment of your very definite definitions. The definitions you have come to on your own or through mutual agreements about the kingdom of heaven that define it as not being the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about abandoning those definitions so that what each thing truly is can register with you. And the way you abandon your current definitions, as we've been talking about, is by going within to the altar, being willing for a moment to abandon your best theories and your best concepts, and saying, Father, I want to know what the truth is here. I want you to tell me what it is, because I want to replace my definition with your perspective. Because I don't want to hurt anymore. And I don't want my brother to hurt anymore. And I don't want to see the tree dying in the yard. Father, I'm not asking to change the tree. I'm asking you to help me relinquish whatever it is in me that is insisting upon seeing something different from the perfect embodiment of creation that you must be being there, right where that tree is. And why? Because when the shift of perception occurs within you that has been illuminated by the Father, you will see a perfect tree. Not because you manipulated matter through magic or the force of the power of miracle making, but because you actually were willing to relinquish whatever you thought the tree was, and whatever you thought the condition of the tree was, and whatever you thought the conditions were that brought about the problem the tree was having. And indeed, your willingness to relinquish the idea that the world and universe you're seeing started from a big bang, a purely physical event, rather than it being the visibility and tangibility of the movement of God that it has forever been. You know, we talk about waking up and going home. Well, what's the purpose of our getting together and reading the Course and discussing the ideas? The purpose is to bring it home, to bring the point home. So we're talking about bringing it home right into this room, bringing it home right into your house, illuminating the truth right where you are, and seeing what could only be called physical transformations. Transformations that would register in a photograph. And if you're not seeing changes, you're not bringing this stuff home. And if you didn't realize that that was the point, I'm telling you that's the point, so that you will be inquisitive and attentive in the right place. In other words, all of this is relevant right now, right here. As someone else said, it's not pie in the sky after you die. And if it isn't relevant to you right now, you're missing it. I'm not suggesting that all of you are missing it, but it's essential for me to make this point. And if you do say, well, you know, I haven't seen much difference, don't ask yourself, what have I been doing wrong? Let the fact that you're aware that there hasn't been a lot of difference simply suggest to you that there is more for you to see. There is more for you to look forward to in this moment. That this moment is pregnant with illumination, transformation, sudden shifts of perception. Expectancy. When a woman is pregnant, you say, she is expecting. And when you're in a pregnant moment, which every moment is until you're fully awake, you should be expecting. When you're awake, every moment is pregnant. But it's not pregnant with the abandoning of illusions and the replacement of them by the truth. It's every moment is pregnant with the movement of the mind of God. It never stops to repeat itself and therefore is always new, always vitally, significantly, awesomely alive, awesomely new. But for the time being, as you are bringing yourselves more and more into alignment with God and with your real mind, which is the Holy Spirit, your expectancy needs to be to have the revelation of truth that you haven't been experiencing. Because you stifled it the moment you said, "Father, I would rather see it myself, my way. Father, I would rather do it my way. I would like to try being the author of my experience for a while." And as they say in television, when you did that, you cut the feed. You lost the feed. You lost the connection. Okay. Expect your sudden shifts of perception to be relevant to where you are and to be experienced as transforming in a healing way, where more perfection is manifest, there is more perfection that can be recorded on a photograph, in a photograph, that there is more perfection that everyone can see. So that where you limped before, you don't limp now. And where your fingers moved difficultly and were misshapen by arthritis, they now move flawlessly and are not misshapen. What are you going to have a new perception of if it isn't everything you're currently having misperceptions of? Just think about that. Okay. We'll go to the book. And as I've said before, I'm reading from the transcript as it was completed by Bill Thetford. Safety is the complete relinquishment of attack. You know, I've said it before, when we sit down to have a gathering, Paul says, "I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of capital B being, the Father's will." In other words, let the reign of divine truth, life and love be established in me and rule out of me all self-will. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. Now, the key words here are the words only. I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness, and only that which is in harmony with the purpose of capital B being. This is the only way he or any of you can relinquish attack. Because if you realize it, any time you are not yielding to the Father, you are being the author of thoughts on your own. And as long as you are attempting to act as an independent agent, a thinker, you are reaffirming this bill of divorcement from the Father, which is a denial of God, and as we've said before, ends up being a denial of what you truly are. Everything that follows is based upon a misapprehension of yourself, a misperception of yourself. And therefore, everything that follows is an illusion. Being an illusion, it has no possibility of being real, of being truly effective, of being truly present. And because it arises out of an act of denial, it cannot express or embody love. Now, the fact is, if it's not embodying love, it's embodying nothing at all. But since you all engage together in being independent in this way, and you come to mutual agreements, and you base your behavior with each other on those agreements, and you base your interpretations of everything that you're aware of on this belief that you can actually be something functioning on its own, everything that you do must be recognized as unconstructive, unintelligent, but most importantly, and perhaps the most difficult thing to accept, it is an act that can have only one effect: destruction, chaos. It isn't just unproductive, it hurts. It isn't just meaningless, it causes you pain. It isn't just not loving, it finds expression in your relationships in forms that have as their intent your brothers and sisters' distraction from what they divinely are. That is not just unkind, it's destructive. I don't care what thought it is you might have. If you're having it alone, if you're having it without any conscious awareness of your connection with the Holy Spirit, if you're having it without any conscious connection with your guide, with your brother or sister who is awake, it constitutes one further emphasis, one further act of maintenance of your bill of divorcement. The relinquishment of this kind of behavior, which can appropriately be described as attack, attack on reality, attack on the kingdom of heaven, attack on God, because you are denying all of these things. The one thing that can cause the relinquishment of this attack is your willingness to abandon every single one of your thoughts that you've had by yourself. Even if the thought is, I really like that woman, or I really like that beautiful garment, and you know that it is truly an acknowledgement of beauty, you must be willing to abandon every single thought that you are having on your own. And as I said before, this seems to mean that you're narrowing your attention down, because you're narrowing it down from all of the thoughts you're able to think and all of the potential thoughts that remain for you to think up, in order to give your attention to only one thing. I allow only for that which expresses the Christ consciousness. What is that which only expresses the Christ consciousness for you? It's nothing more than your right mind, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks for the Father. I allow only. It's like saying, I allow only for what is essential. I allow only for what is real. Like the sculptor, I chipped away everything that wasn't part of the statue. I was only interested in only that which was part of the statue. Hey, he could have had the whole block of marble. Wasn't that more than what he was left with after he finished? You see? The thing is that as you go through your day, if you will be willing to let go of everything that isn't necessary, and you choose to look at everything only with the Christ consciousness, only with your right mind, only with that which embodies the Father's perspective, you're not going to end up having a narrow experience. The kingdom of heaven will be given to you. The kingdom of heaven will be revealed to you in everything you had already been seeing, and more. And your aloneness, your separation from everyone in this room, as well as all of the brotherhood that you're not experiencing at this moment because it doesn't fit into your definitions. Oh, well, they passed on, you know. Someday I'll see them. Well, you see, that's your definition. It's not true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Separate yourself from God. Choose to be an independent authorizer of the definitions of your world, and all of these things will be taken away from you. Actually, you will have abandoned all these things because you wanted for a while to play with being God all by yourself, when God was being all there was of you all along. And you were being all that God was being right where you were. So, again, the one sentence we've succeeded in reading so far today: safety is the complete relinquishment of attack. No compromise is possible in this. And your lives are demonstrations of the truth of that sentence. No compromise is possible in this. There is no other way God's gift can be made. God cannot extend himself partially. Again, the Holy Spirit was given you with perfect impartiality. And only by perceiving him impartially can you perceive him at all. The ego is legion, but the Holy Spirit is one. I'm going to say the ego is legion, but it's a conglomeration of what you might call infinite and infinitely separated parts that are at odds with each other and can never be in harmony. Continuing, but the Holy Spirit is one, and I will say one, in which all of those distinctly separate and oppositional parts that the ego sees are part of the infinitude of the Holy Spirit that is seeing them. And so nothing is left out. All of creation is one as the mind that looks on creation through God's eyes. Continuing, no darkness abides anywhere in the kingdom, but your part is only to allow no darkness to abide in your own mind. That's all. You don't have to tackle the universe. You don't have to tackle all of the kingdom. All you have to do is attend to your own mind. And you attend to your own mind by breaking this habit of relying vehemently on your best judgments, your best assessments, your best definitions, and your allegiances to each other and the mutual agreements you've made with each other, and turning toward the altar, acknowledging that indeed there is another way to look at this, meaning all there is. And it's a truer way. And I'm interested in exploring, for lack of better words, the potential that I hear there is from Raj, from looking toward that which is nothing more than my right mind. And abandoning my isolation and letting in a better view with a willingness to yield to it, even though I don't have complete confidence. Even though I don't have complete confidence. You're very much like the young lady who was faced with the option of kissing the frog prince. Hey, she might end up just having kissed a frog. But the extension of love might be exactly that which uncovers the reality there. We will say the handsome prince. And you might as well dare to do that which might uncover the Christ that you are to yourself. You know, you might as well put your religious faith to the test. Put your mouth where your theories are. Continuing, this alignment with light is unlimited because it is alignment with the capital L light of the world. Each of us is the light of the world. And by joining our minds in this light, we proclaim the kingdom of God together and as one. Do you see that? If you and you and you and you all individually are extending the light, you're all in harmony with each other. you are all jointly expressing the same purpose. Now, just one of you can do wonders. But what if all of you, this week, decide that you're not going to take the bait like you did this last week? When the suggestion came that you were vulnerable and that you had better defend yourself and that you had better take care of your defense before you question which teacher you're listening to. Before you consider whose vision you are choosing to employ. You know, it's not going to change. When you employ the ego's vision and engage in defense, you're going to hurt, hurt, hurt. You're going to be in pain, pain, pain. You're going to be miserable, miserable, miserable. I mean it, and you know it. It's inevitable. There is no other result from not listening to the voice for truth. What do they say? Stupidity is persisting in doing what doesn't work. Remember, we're still talking about the good news. And to really be willing to acknowledge that what doesn't work, and saying that this constitutes justification for trying something new, that's part of the good news. The next section is entitled The Relinquishment of Attack. We have used many words as synonymous, which are not ordinarily regarded as the same. We began with having and being, and more recently have used others. Hearing and being are examples, to which we can also add teaching and being, learning and being, and above all, projecting and being. This is because, as we have said before, every idea begins in the mind of the thinker and extends outward. Therefore, what extends from the mind is still in it. Again, what extends from the mind is still in it. And from what it extends, it knows itself. That is its natural talent. The word knows is correct here, even though the ego does not know and is not concerned with being at all. The Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, still holds knowledge safe through his impartial perception. By attacking nothing, he presents no barrier at all to the communication of God. Thus, being is never threatened. Your godlike mind can never be defiled. The ego never was and never will be part of it. But through the ego, you can hear and teach and learn what is not true. And I would add, and which never takes on any aspect of real being. Again, the ego never was and never will be part of it, but through the ego you can hear and teach and learn what is not true. End of quote. And which can never take on any aspect of real being. Continuing, from this which you have made, you have taught yourselves to believe that you are not what you are. Well, nothing new about that. We've been talking about it ad infinitum. You cannot teach what you have not learned, and what you teach you strengthen in yourselves because you are sharing it. Every lesson you teach, you are learning. You meet someone new? Well, let's put it this way. You are fresh out of college. You're stepping out into the world. And you have decided to be an architect. You go and apply for a job, and you get one. And let's say you've been working there for 2 or 3 weeks. You're unsure about yourself. You know, you're just starting out. It's a new job, first job you've ever had. Will they like you? Will you be able to perform? Blah, blah, blah. And as you meet your friends and acquaintances or run into new people, the question comes up, well, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm an architect. Well, you don't feel like an architect yet. You know that you've completed school and you have a job, and your job title says architect, but you have to keep saying it so that the words don't sound as foreign to you. And after you've said it enough, let us say 20 years goes by, and now you have your own office and you are the owner of it and you are running things. And when somebody says, well, what do? You say, I'm an architect. And there's no doubt in your mind at all. And when you say it, you expect others to hear that you are an architect with the same degree of assurance that you're using the word. And why are you now in this position? Because you've convinced yourself by saying the unfamiliar word over and over again and performing the functions of your office over and over again. You see, you have taught yourself that you are an architect by your words and your actions. You see? Again, you cannot teach what you have not learned, and what you teach you strengthen in yourselves because you are sharing it. Every lesson you teach, you are learning. That is why you must teach only one lesson. If you are to be conflict-free yourselves, you must learn only from the Holy Spirit and teach only by Him. You are only love. But when you denied this, you made what you are something you must learn. When you said, but Father, I'd rather do it my way, I'm getting a bill of divorcement, you separated yourself from your source, you separated yourself from what gave you true, real identity, and the fact that you are love became not you, and therefore something you must learn. Now, the interesting fact is that you couldn't possibly for a second cease being love. So all of your effort to learn to be love by saying it and by behaving lovingly has still constituted a denial of what you are, because you already are it and you're still not embracing that. That's why I started out today talking about the fallacy of study, 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 and improving yourself, because it will constantly distance you from the fact that you're already at your destination. Continuing, we said before that the message of the crucifixion was, teach only love, for that is what you are. This is the one lesson which is perfectly unified, because it is the only lesson which is one. Only by teaching it can you learn it. Quote, as you teach, so will you learn, unquote. If that is true, and it is true indeed, you must never forget that what you teach is teaching you. What you project, you believe. Simple, but powerful words. So, if what you project is what you believe, and you want to have an improved belief, then you've got to make different choices about what you're projecting. And one of the ways in which you can find new ways to project is to stop, stop frequenting immoral, illicit, unprincipled, unloving, argumentative, conflicted venues, let's put it that way. To stop being curious to see what kind of awfulness there is going on in the world, especially awfulnesses that might affect you in some way. Relinquish curiosity about the awfulness of life. Relinquish curiosity about that which doesn't express unity. Don't be curious. Don't be curious about evil, would be another way of, a more traditional way of putting it. When you're looking for awfulness in yourselves or others, you send out messengers. Evil-seeking messengers. And they will find what they're looking for. Oh yes, they will go out. And they'll find this little part of the kingdom of heaven and that little part of the kingdom of heaven, because that's all there is for them to go out and explore in. And they will bring you back messages, untrue messages about the kingdom of heaven. They will tell you lies, because a lie was what sent them out. And what was the lie? The lie was, on the part of the sender, I'm not the Christ. I am not the direct expression of God at this moment. God is not all there is of me. I am independent. And I have a life of my own. You see, this is a lie. And you know what? My perception of everything is that I live in a hostile world. Well, that's a lie too. It's not a hostile world, but it looks that way to the one who's being on the basis of a lie. And so a liar sends out messengers looking for the conflicted awfulness of the world so that they might bring back information that will help the sender be ready for whatever's coming, well defended in advance. Stop doing this, everyone. Stop sending out these messengers. Abandon the fundamental lie that you're not the Christ. Or, let's say, abandon the fundamental lie that you have any existence other than what God is expressing of Himself right where you are. And then send out messengers looking for confirmation of this divine presence of God that you are, so that they might come back and confirm to you even more fully your divinity and the divinity of your world. Let go of morbid fascination with the awfulness of existence. Do you hear me? Abandon morbid fascination with conflict. Abandon morbid obsession with awfulness that might potentially affect you. Ooh, boy, the ego says, that's really stupid. You're really going to make yourself vulnerable. Well, the fact is that morbid fascination with the awfulness of the world and what effect it might have on you is what is stupid, because it will bring back to you confirmation of what isn't real and isn't true, and you will believe it because it's confirming your intent by sending out those messengers, and you're stuck in an illusion with no opportunity to experience freedom from it, because the only freedom from it that you will get is by sending out new messengers. Different messengers that you send out from a true premise, that being that God is all there is of you and you are divine. And it's your desire to experience confirmation of the divinity of everything else. Again, you must never forget that what you teach is teaching you. I'm going to say this. What you teach constitutes your sending messengers out into your world. And they will come back and teach you of the intent that you sent them out with. What you project, in other words, the messengers you send out, and the dishonesty of your position, you believe. What you project, you believe. And again, if you want a new belief, you're going to have to find something new to project. Continuing, the only real safety lies in projecting only the Holy Spirit. Because as you see His gentleness in others, your own mind perceives itself as totally harmless. In other words, what you see, you be. Once it can accept this fully, it does not see the need to protect itself. The protection of God then dawns upon it, assuring it that it is perfectly safe forever. The perfectly safe are wholly benign. Why? Why are the perfectly safe wholly benign? Because they're sending out messengers of love. They are not sending out messengers to find the expected awfulness. You see? That's dishonest, deceitful, hateful. It's certainly not benign. Continuing, they bless because they know they are blessed. Without anxiety, the mind is wholly kind, and because it projects beneficence, it is beneficent. Now, one thing ought to be becoming perfectly clear. As you have read the Course, and you've read the way in which the word projection is used, it has been easy for you to come to the conclusion that projection is a dirty word. Oh, he's projecting. Oh, he's projecting. No. Projection is a divine law of being. God, in the act of creation, is projecting what he is, but not projecting it outside of himself. And God experiences his projection and recognizes himself in it. And so we have this full circle of a projection of what God is, coming full circle back to God, you might say, because it never left God, and God recognizes himself in it. What does it say? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, or verily, God. You see, self-recognition. Wholeness, oneness, unity. So don't use the word projection or think of it as a bad word, a dirty word, a metaphysically or spiritually incorrect word. Rather, recognize that projection is inseparable from the conscious experience of being. You're doing it all the time, either from the basis of a lie that you believe is true or an experience of what is real that you have invited in, which causes you to be in perfect alignment with the projection that constitutes the movement of creation that God is, that allows you then to experience the influx of God's point of view, if you will, God's perspective, that allows alignment to occur, so that the last vestige of the bill of divorcement can dissolve, and you are awake, and we can't stop without my reminding you that this isn't a long project for you to engage in. It's available to you at this moment, and it boils down to the acceptance or a rejection of an idea. That's all. A single idea that can't defend itself against your choice. And that idea is, you are not God, but God is all there is of you. Are you going to accept that idea or reject it? Whether you do it or not, this week or tonight, and wake up, the fact is that that's the only fly in the ointment there is. That's the only fly in the ointment there is. I hope you find this all incredibly interesting. It is the incredible good news. Everybody else might say, oh, come on, put your back into it. Put your back into it, you know. Work. work. We're doing it that way. You don't think it can be that easy, do you? Come on, put your back into it. Exert a little effort. It's bait. Are you going to take it, hook, line, and sinker? Or not? Whether you do or not, the point is that all you're dealing with is the acceptance or rejection of a single idea. Now are you the sons and daughters of God? I love you, little sons and daughters of God. You infinite sons and daughters of God. And I look forward to being with you next week. Yes.
On the way over here tonight, or this afternoon, I was thinking about the one time you said that we aren't really here. And what I heard was, the reason I'm seeing this stuff is because I'm focusing on it. Because I've been seeing a lot of the messengers coming back with meanness and stuff. So what I got today was, when I see any of this going on, then what I need to do is focus on the Holy Spirit at that second, not the thing I'm hearing or the thing I'm seeing or the whatever. Is that right?
That is correct. And then, with the Holy Spirit, look upon these things.
In a different way.
Because the Holy Spirit will be looking at it
correctly
through the eyes of unity and oneness, and can reflect back to you, report back to you, the true vision. Now, let's be careful to say, I'm not here. It means that you are not in the perception of the kingdom of heaven that you're having, that you call a material world and universe full of mortals.
Yeah, that was the startling thing.
But you are in the kingdom of heaven, right here, and everything you are seeing is some aspect of reality. It's just that it's seen through this torque that you've applied.
Yes, it's focus. Okay.
That causes the kingdom of heaven to be experienced as stressful and causes you to be defensive and to see everything as justification for defense. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll meet again next week. Thank you.